really to embrace the world of testing is don't put all of your time, effort, whatever resources you have into just creating one piece of content, one message, and putting it out there and expecting it to work. Is really take this time of this iterative approach of producing content, testing, seeing what's working, seeing what's not working, and fueling that to gauge how to really craft a message that is going to resonate with your potential customers. That's going to resonate with them to the point where they're going to want to interact with you. They're going to want to take a meeting with you, that they're going to want to purchase from you. And if the first piece of content doesn't work, don't give up.
Well, hey everyone, this is Scott, and thanks so much for downloading the latest episode of The Scott King Show, where I talk with sales and marketing leaders from all over the world on how they are building their brands and growing their businesses. Today, I'm talking with Brendan Kane. Brendan helps Fortune 500 corporations, global brands, and celebrities build digital audiences. He's constructed applications, platforms, and campaigns for celebrity clients like Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Katie Couric, and my favorite, Michael Strahan. Today, Brendan is known for recently building a million followers in less than 30 days, and he's here today to explain how he did it. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to talk about your book. You know, the title says it all, 1 million followers, how I built a following in 30 days. What's the trick? Because everyone's trying to do this, but I guess you found the way to build a voice and the voice builds the following. What are some of the tricks?
Yeah, at a very high level, what it comes down to is really testing content and testing content at scale. Now, yes, I generated 1 million followers in 30 days, but as the book explains, it took me about 3.5 years to develop the system that allows me to do that. And I've done it several times for other clients since then. But at the end of the day, what I've really learned back to an experience I had in building a paid media company where we were optimizing social spend for Fortune 500 companies and big brands was that we would constantly have clients come to us with a piece of content that they would say, we just spent hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to produce, and now we want to spend another $1 million promoting it to a specific audience or demographic. And when you ask them, well, how do you know that this piece of content is going to resonate to this audience to resolve this money? 9 times out of 10, they didn't have the analytics or data to support it. So they were just doing it off a creative hunch and basically rolling the dice and hoping that it was going to pay off. And this was a recurring theme that I saw over and over again. And I thought there's got to be a better way to go about this, because like if you're a huge global brand, yes, you can fail multiple times at that scale and recover. But what about the rest of us? What about people that don't have huge budgets? So that's where I left and started building these set of testing methodologies and predictive calculations on top of the Facebook and Instagram platform, really so that I can test content and scale, really understand what themes, formats, and stories resonate with the audience that you're trying to reach and generate the intended response you're looking for, whether that is a simple social interaction, getting them to share with their friends and family, or purchasing a product or registering for an email list, whatever your key KPI is. But again, it all comes back to really testing, understanding your audience, and understanding what content resonates with those audience, not just the high level subject matter of the content, but how to actually package it in a way that captures people's attention. Because what people don't realize is that there's over 60 billion messages sent on digital platforms each day. Like, you have to overcome the noise in some way, because people are constantly scrolling through their feeds, scrolling through their emails, scrolling through their LinkedIn profiles, and they're just inundated with content. So if you can't capture their attention in a very short period of time, you lose out.
Yeah, I've seen that before, where somebody will come with a piece of content and say, hey, this is great. And you look at it and then you say to yourself, hopefully not out loud to your customer, it's like, I don't know how I'm going to use this, right? Because it doesn't tell the right story. So it sounds like you figured out a formula to, you know, increase the engagement. Were you looking at all the same kind of variables for each audience, or does each audience have its own set of variables? I assume yes, which is why I asked the question. And then, you know, what about, you know, a B2B audience, right? So my audience on this podcast is mostly technical B2B marketers. What are some of the things that we should be considering before we actually produce a piece of content that we want to share?
Yeah, to your first question, are there common variables? Yes, there is. Obviously, there can be different themes and topics that you cover in terms of your content, But from a structural standpoint, there are common themes. You know, when you talk about social platforms, and it even applies to a B2B platform like LinkedIn, is the first 3 seconds of a video is super critical because people are scrolling through the feed. You have less than 3 seconds to capture their attention. So people today use captions on the bottom. They use a meme card at the top, which is kind of like the headline burned into the video. So those are different elements and structural ways to package content that is consistent no matter the business. Obviously, you can make certain tweaks and look at the variations of that content in certain ways based upon the business that you're in. But there are structural commonalities. Now, when we talk about B2B, it still the same principles apply. It has to come down to testing content. And I'll give you an example. When we were scaling that paid social optimization firm, where we were managing tens of millions of dollars of paid spend for brands and corporations, like one client could represent $10 million worth of revenue. What we would do on LinkedIn is we would test different creative in terms of how do we position our value proposition through LinkedIn messaging. In the beginning, we just used LinkedIn cold messaging, but we eventually evolved to connecting with people on LinkedIn, extracting their email address, and then putting them through an automated email cadence. And through the messaging that we were putting out, we were constantly testing how do we structurally position our message that conveys the most value based upon the person that we're talking to. So we would have different messaging for the CEO of a company versus the VP versus middle management, because we knew they each had different pain points. So again, even when we're talking about B2B, you got to test content. Just don't create one piece of content, whether that's a video, whether that is an email, whether that is a cold message through LinkedIn, and just send it to everybody and expect it to work. It's just that constant evolution of testing and learning what it takes to engage people and get the intended response that you were looking for.
And then, so you've worked with a lot of celebrities and they're in the consumer market. So things seem to move, you know, more quickly in the consumer market. What are some of the things that you learned from working with celebrity clients like, you know, Strahan or Taylor Swift? How does that translate over into B2B? Can we use more of those tricks, or can we stop being, you know, separate? You know, can we make B2B advertising and kind of social engagement like consumer engagement, right? Because that seems to be, you know, where you build star-craving fans and you can build followers. How do we do that in B2B? Is that just the testing, or is there something else that we could do?
Yeah, it's a great question. And even in those experiences, working with a big celebrity or a corporation, I was actually in a B2B business because I had to close them as clients and service them as clients, in addition to helping them reach their overall consumers. So in all those experiences, I actually had to service both sides of the table. So there's a lot of strategy that I can relay in terms of how I actually close those deals and approach that in such a crowded market, in addition to the learnings that I took away from working with celebrities. So let me just start with the B2C side and what I learned from that perspective that I think would be extremely valuable. So one of the key learnings that I took away from building technology platforms for Taylor Swift and her team for about 2.5 years was people don't realize that Taylor grew her fan base herself. She grew it one by one. In the beginning, she didn't have a huge record label. She didn't have millions of dollars of marketing budget. It was herself using social platforms, using social media to foster a one-to-one communication with fans. What made her so successful and allowed her to have such exponential growth is she realized that each time that she responded to a comment of a fan, each time that she took a photo with the fan, each time she signed an autograph, not only did it turn that fan into a fan for life, but it also turned that fan into a brand advocate, somebody that was now willing to share their product, share their message, share whatever they're putting out there into the world with everybody they knew. And because at that time, when social profiles were becoming an intricate part of everyday teenager life, it was no longer that when somebody was sharing, they weren't just sharing with their close inner circle of 3 to 5 people that they could reach out and talk to. They were now sharing to their social profiles. And with each share, it was reaching hundreds, thousands, in some cases, tens of thousands of people. And that's where that exponential growth came from, is Taylor Swift did this one-to-one interaction with these fans, turned them into brand advocates, which fueled the growth of the company. In the book, there's another partner of mine that is the chief product officer of FabFitFun, which is an e-commerce company that's grown to $1 billion valuation in less than 5 years. And they take a similar approach, whereas every person in the company, no matter what, whether it's him at the chief product officer level or even the CEO, each day they take 30 minutes to an hour of their time to respond and interact with customers and go on the message boards and respond to complaints or respond to questions and things of that nature, because that creates that culture of fostering that one-to-one communication and connection with your core customers and understanding who they are and what they're about. So how do you apply that to a B2B element? Is B2B, you got to do the same thing. It's like, first off, you've got to understand your customer. You've got to be able to respond to them, foster that one-to-one communication and connection with them so they have this real positive experience, and then they're willing to share your product, your message, your content with everybody they know. Like, that's the position I'm in at this point in my career, where I'm acting as a digital strategist. So I have contractors and partners that are specialized in different areas that I refer out because I've had positive experiences with them. So it's really taking that approach from a very simplistic and granular level. And I know it's like, oh, that's common sense, but so many people just don't even think about it, is how is that interaction with the people, with the current customers you have, the current customers you're servicing, and are they at a point where they're willing to share your products or services with people they know? Because word of mouth and referral based, whether that's happening on social channels or offline, is always going to be one of the best growth factors for your business, especially if you're dealing with a limited budget.
Yeah, I find, you know, with going online and commenting, it is important to schedule that into your diary and make sure that you're doing it. But then even when someone does find an opportunity to engage, they hesitate, right? They don't really know what to say because they're scared to be authentic. And that's just from a personal example and questions that I get on how to do it, because I'll type and comment on almost anything, right? If I know the answer or if I have, you know, an expert opinion. But I think, you know, a lot of people just hesitate to do that. And that's an important, especially with the Fab Fun guys, right? I think I've seen that company before. You know, if they're doing that engagement and they have, you know, the leaders of the company doing that, then, you know, they have their own following, right? So their own employees are now going to follow their lead. So it's kind of interesting how they've done that.
Yeah. And just to answer the second part of the question is from a B2B play, like, because people ask me all the time, well, how do you close a Taylor Swift or an MTV or one of these big celebrities or corporations as clients? And because I've done it multiple different ways, but it comes down to one key ingredient, and that's providing value to people. As I go into a situation, whether that's a meeting with a Taylor Swift, a major CEO of a company, or even a middle manager, with how can I go into this and understand who this person is, what their pain points are, what are they trying to achieve, and then how can I provide the most value to this person through the product or service I have to offer, rather than the approach that most people take is, how do I sell my product or service? It's just having that slight tweak of, how do I just go in there and understand who I'm speaking to, or even if it's a cold email or a cold message, and how can I look at their perspective about what they're trying to achieve or what the issues, problems that they're running into, and craft my message, craft my story, craft my content all about how I am providing value to this person, because it just changes the dynamic of the conversations. It's not that people don't like to be sold. It's just the way that you position it about the value that you can provide to them.
Yeah, if you can help me and sell at the same time, you know, that's a win-win. But I think some people just, they take too narrow a view, right? They're so focused on themselves that they don't see that the other person, you know, has a need, and they just forget the whole value proposition to the person, right? They're thinking the self-value. So I totally agree. So you've worked on a lot of campaigns, Brendan, and we could probably go on forever on all the successful ones. Are there some certain campaigns where you just knew that it was going to work and it ended up not working, but so therefore it was a successful test, but you tested a theory that's not going to work anymore. Any examples like that that you may think of?
I have to think about a specific example, but I will say that you run into that issue 9 times out of 10 in any campaign you work with. And it's really having that mindset of testing and learning to figure out what is going to work for the campaign. It means just a simple tweak of a specific word, a specific tweak of the first 3 seconds of a video. One that I'll give you in terms of the overall effectiveness of just taking that granular approach of testing at scale is I was working with a very large media company that if I told you the name, you would definitely know, but I can't reveal it because I don't want to make anybody upset. But I was brought into this situation where they had spent $500,000 on a campaign. And for that campaign, they tested 46 variations of content to yield a specific result. And then they brought me into the equation and they gave me $100,000 budget to see what I could do. And I proceeded to test over 75,000 variations of content. Because what I was really looking for, and to your point, is in the beginning, I wasn't really finding the results that I was looking for, which was really measuring the shareability, the sharing velocity of the content that they were producing. So I just kept testing and learning, testing and learning, testing and learning. And with that process of taking $100,000 budget versus a $500,000 budget, with them testing 46 variations of content and me testing 75,000 variations of content, I was able to save them over $31 million in traffic acquisition costs. But it wasn't like I just tested one piece of content and I had all that success. It's like test and learn. And along that way, you're going to have pieces of content or media that's not performing. But the idea is, what can you learn from that? Like, how can you take those learnings for the next test and keep doing that over and over again until you really find a formula that works? Now, I'm not saying and suggesting everybody out there that you have to test at that level. Like, the system I developed that I break down in the book shows how we do it at a level that doesn't seem so daunting and overwhelming. Like, literally, we can build 1,000 variations in under an hour. But it's really taking that iterative approach of how can we maximize the potential of the content that's being produced and don't give up on it if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, what are the learnings that we can take away and apply that to the next piece of content or the next marketing campaign that we're running?
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, 75,000 pieces, that sounds like a lot to me. It's interesting that you found, that level of results and saved them from basically just wasting, a bunch of traffic acquisition costs, right? It's a very interesting test. I'd love to see the report on that because that's just kind of blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, I can show you the report. Share it with anybody else.
But yeah, exactly.
It's pretty interesting. And the funny thing is that is a reoccurring theme that I see constantly. I'm often brought into situations where companies have burned through hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars on ineffective growth tactics or social strategies. And just shifting the mindset or shifting the strategy can have remarkable results.
Yeah. 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 It really goes down to shareability, right? If you don't share it with your friends and your coworkers and your peers, then, it's all for naught, right? They produce a piece that's not going to scale. So that's interesting. So I'm sure you've got a lot of stories about all the customers and celebrities that you've worked with. Do you find inspiration in any of those people personally or on a professional level? Or I'm curious, what do you read or listen to find your inspiration? Like, how do you stay on top of your game?
Yeah, I mean, first off, the first part of your question about inspiration from clients, going back to working with Taylor Swift was really an eye-opening experience because seeing how she was building these brand advocates and really focusing on people to her brand and content message her really sparked this curiosity and desire to really focus on how to get people to share at the highest possible velocity. Because to me, like you said, that's super critical in any business, because if you're not getting people to share your content, your products or services, whether you're on B2C or B2B, you have to work for every client that you get, versus if you can focus on the clients you have and how do I turn them into brand advocates for me, that now you have your clients working for you to bring people to you. And especially when you're talking about operating at the highest levels, closing major corporations or celebrities, and celebrity could be a celebrity in your industry. It doesn't necessarily mean a musician, a rock star, an athlete. It could be, if you're in real estate, the celebrity of real estate development or somebody in your space. To get to those higher levels, you need to be able to build up that trust and credibility from the people around them so that you can get those types of referrals. In terms of what I learn is just constantly testing content and learning from others. Like, I spend a tremendous amount of time, even though I'm in digital and technology and social, I spend a tremendous amount of time meeting experts in the space because people have different strategies and different ways of going about it. And it's the way that I structured my book is, I would say the book is about 30% of my strategies and how I generated 1 million followers in 30 days. But then I went out and interviewed some of my key partners, like the chief product officer at FabFitFun, or an influencer that generated 15 million followers in 15 months, or a company that services the largest brands and corporations in creating viral videos for them. Because I feel like if you're not constantly learning in this space and learning from the best and the brightest, you're not going to succeed in the long term because the space is evolving so quickly. And because it's evolving so quickly, there's no way that you can study everything. So I really rely on people I trust and meeting new people all the time to figure out different ways to approach growth, whether that be B2B or B2C.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I bet you've got some really interesting stories. I'll definitely have to pick a copy of the book up, and we'll link back to it so everyone listening can find it in the show notes. But Brendan, if you didn't have any responsibilities at home or work next week, and you weren't, you know, diving deep into digital reports and learning about digital, what would you do with your time? Right? What do you do that's not digital?
When it's not work related, I'm constantly traveling, and I'm traveling because I want to see different parts of the world and see how different people experience the world and different cultures. Because one of the things I do on the side for fun, but it also plays into work, is studying human behavior and psychology. First, because I want to understand more about myself and how to become a better person. But also, it really helps you understand the people around you, whether that's personal relationships or professional relationships. So what interests me and excites me is really understanding why people do the things they do. Why do ourselves act in certain ways so that it can really create a better life, not just for us, but the people around us. And then obviously can apply to business and content and marketing as well, because the more you understand about the people you're talking to and interacting with, the better you are to connect with them and service them.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the psychology of sales and marketing as well. I've had a lot of guests on the podcast talk about that. And one of my all-time favorite books is Psychology of Persuasion. I read, you know, decades ago. And I think probably the only book I've read, you know, 5 or 6 times. It's really great. So Brendan, if somebody had a question for you, based on anything that they heard today, what's the best way to contact you? How do you like to be contacted?
Yeah, there's several different ways. Whatever is most comfortable for them. I'm on LinkedIn at Brendan Kane. They can direct message me on Instagram at Brendan Kane, or they can email me directly. My email is b@seekers.com. So that's b@seekers.com. So those are the ways that they can directly get in touch with me, or they can check out my book at 1millionfollowers.com. And one is all spelled out. But the book's available everywhere. It's in Barnes & Noble, on Amazon, or wherever books are sold.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Well, thanks so much, Brendan, for talking with me. What would you like to leave us with today? Any closing thoughts?
I would say the closing thought for today is really to embrace the world of testing. Is don't put all of your time, effort, whatever resources you have into just creating one piece of content, one message, and putting it out there and expecting it to work. Is really take this time of this iterative approach of producing content, testing, seeing what's working, seeing what's not working, and fueling that to gauge how to really craft a message that is going to resonate with your potential customers, that's going to resonate with them to the point where they're going to want to interact with you, they're going to want to take a meeting with you, that they're going to want to purchase from you. And if the first piece of content doesn't work, don't give up. That is a piece of learning that you can take to fuel the next piece of content. And what I see specifically all the time with social and digital and people approaching it is they don't really learn from the content that they're putting out, even if that is simply an email. So again, take this iterative process of constantly testing and learning what it takes to really generate the intended response from the customers that you're trying to reach.
Love it. Love it. Well, thanks so much, Brendan, for talking with me today and investing your time in my audience. I had a pleasure talking with you, and I'll definitely pick up a copy at 1millionfollowers.com.
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hi, and thanks for listening. This is Scott King, where it is my goal to inform you how smart marketers build their brands and grow their businesses. Please subscribe to the podcast series at thescottking.com or follow me on Twitter at thescottking to grab the next link. If you like what you heard today, please go to iTunes and write a review. Always appreciate that. Thanks, and be sure and visit again.